Coordinating growth and development with seasonal environmental variation is a critical requirement for insects inhabiting temperate habitats. While the summer months provide conditions favorable for growth and development, the harsh conditions of winter may force insects to escape in space through migration or in time through diapause. Today I'll be specifically addressing photoperiodic diapause. When exposed to the short day lengths associated with the onset of winter, a number of temperate insects, some shown here, will enter a diapause in which there is a halt in their development. While the ecological basis of photoperiodic diapause is well understood, the molecular basis of this critical trait is still not very well known. As we've seen today, different insects enter diapause at different developmental stages. I work with Aedes albopictus, a medically important invasive mosquito. In this species, people and adult females are photoperiodically sensitive. When exposed to the long days associated with summer, females will oviposit developing eggs. However, when under the influence of short day lengths, the females will produce eggs in which ferret larvae enter diapause. It's important to note that this species occurs in both temperate and tropical populations, and that only the temperate but not the tropical populations will enter diapause when exposed to short day lengths. So to begin to identify genes associated with photoperiodic diapause in Aedes albopictus, I simultaneously reared a temperate population under either long day or short day light conditions. The mosquitoes were blood fed, and 4 days later I dissected out mature follicles from the females and subsequently extracted RNA from them. Using this RNA, I performed a suppressive subtractive hybridization, a method which allows for the isolation of genes differentially expressed between short day and long day reared light treatments. Using the sample enriched for short day express transcripts, I created a cDNA library of approximately 500 clones. I sequenced the entire library, and using the search engine BLAST, I found 71 unique express sequence tags, or ESTs, that corresponded to genes identified in other organisms. So in order to determine which of these ESTs are actually involved in photoperiodic diapause in Aedes albopictus, I created a unique experimental design that included multiple levels of replication. I considered both populations that were temperate, again those that will have a photoperiodic diapause when exposed to short day lengths, and also populations that are tropical, those that do not have a photoperiodic diapause. Comparing both temperate and tropical populations under either short day or long day light treatments is a useful way to identify genes involved in photoperiodic diapause. For example, for a gene that is involved in diapause, I would expect its expression to be different under short day versus long day light treatments in temperate populations. However, I would expect the genes to have about similar expression patterns under either short day or long day light treatments for the tropical populations. So I used 5 different populations, 3 that were temperate, 2 from New Jersey and 1 from Virginia, and 2 that were tropical, 1 from Hawaii and 1 from Kuala Lumpur. I confirmed that for these populations, the temperate populations had a photoperiodic diapause when exposed to short day light treatments, but that the tropical didn't. Within each population, I had 2 individually reared replicates. And within each replicate, I had the sample divided in half, so that half of the sample was exposed to long day light treatments, and the other half was exposed to short day light treatments. Just as before, I extracted RNA from mature follicles from the females, and using that RNA, I performed QRT-PCR reactions comparing the expression levels for long day versus short day light treatments within each population replicate. So although a number of studies have used QRT-PCR to identify genes involved in photoperiodic diapause, I'm not aware of any studies that have used replication comparable to the one on our level. Most studies tend to consider a single temperate population, however, the advantage of using multiple populations is that it allows you to control for gene expression variation that's not due to diapause. Okay, so as I mentioned, using the RNA that I extracted, I performed QRT-PCR reactions comparing the short day versus the long day reared populations for each population replicate. I used ribosomal protein L34 to control for RNA quality and quantity. Using the data that I obtained from the QRT-PCR reactions, I estimated a relative fold change difference between long day versus short day reared light treatments using the delta-delta CT method. I then performed a Mann-Whitney test to determine if the fold changes that I found for the temperate populations were significantly different from the fold changes that I found from the temperate populations. If they were significantly different, I would perform a rapid amplification of cDNA ends, or RACE, on that gene so I could begin to obtain the cdna sequence for that gene in Aedes albopictus. So in terms of results, one overarching theme of this study that I found is that there's a large amount of variation in gene expression among populations. So as an example, we can take a look at a gene that I found called TATI. Just to kind of orient you to the slide, we're looking at fold change differences on the y-axis for each of the different populations on the x-axis. A positive number indicates that the short day rear light treatments resulted in a higher gene expression than the long day light treatments. A negative number indicates the opposite, that the long day rear light treatments has a higher expression than the short day rear light treatments. For example, a fold change of 2 would indicate that the short day light treatment resulted in 2 times greater expression in the gene than the long day light treatment. For fold changes between about -1 to 1, this indicates that there was no effect of the light treatment and that short day and long day rear populations had about the same gene expression for this gene. The bars indicate the average for the two population replicates I had, showing standard error. Now, as you can see, if you look at the first New Jersey population, it seems that there is an upregulation of this gene under short day versus long day light treatments. However, if you look at the other two population replicates or the other two populations that were temperate, you can see that the fold change is right around 0, indicating that there is no effect of light treatment. So this basically shows us that it's important to replicate on the population level, because what you see for one population may not be indicative of what you're going to see for all the populations. This is similar to results found in other studies, specifically Whitehead and Crawford and Alexiak et al., which worked in fish, and Townsend et al., which worked in yeast, which basically showed the same thing, that there's a large amount of variation in gene expression among populations. Now, however, although I did see a lot of variation in gene expression among the populations, I did find some genes, just as I expected, where there would be an upregulation under short day light conditions for the temperate, but not for the tropical populations. As you can see, we have the same type of graph set up here, except for this one is for fatty acyl CoA elongase. And as you can see, all the temperate populations have an upregulation of the gene under short day light treatments, with a fold change from about 3 to 5. On the other hand, the tropical populations have a fold change difference right around 1, indicating that there wasn't much of a expression difference between short day and long day treatments. I performed a Mann-Whitney and found out that, yes, indeed, the fold changes for the temperate populations were statistically different from the fold changes from the tropical populations, with a p-value of 0.04. Therefore, I performed a rapid amplification of cDNA ends for this gene, and so far I have a big chunk of it, and it seems to be highly conserved with Aedes aegypti for this gene, showing that we do have the gene that we think we do. So fatty acyl-CoA elongase works in the elongation of fatty acid chains, obviously. In conjunction with fatty acid synthase, it works in energy storage. Now, given that we're seeing an upregulation of this gene under conditions that will result in diapause-S in individuals, one possible physiological function may be to sequester lipids in preparation for the oncoming winter diapause. So this is kind of similar to results found in Culex pipiens, in which they found an increase in fatty acid synthase in diapause-destined individuals. This is especially interesting given that Culex pipiens has an adult diapause while Aedes albopictus does not, and this may be evidence for molecular commonalities for diapause through different developmental stages. So in future work, in order to see what this gene is actually doing in terms of diapause, I plan on rearing populations under either long day or short day light treatments, and then I'm going to determine the egg number, size, and lipid content of the resulting eggs from the females under the long day or short day. What I would expect is that for short day reared females, I would expect them to have a lower number of eggs that are larger with larger lipid content versus the long day reared females. In addition, as I mentioned originally, I had 71 expressed sequence tags. So far, I've looked at about 45, so I still have 26 to go in terms of the QRT reactions to see what we're going to find here. So in summary, using a unique experimental design, I used QRT-PCR to find genes that were differentially expressed under long day versus short day conditions in Aedes albopictus. The data indicate the importance of population-level replication in gene expression studies. In addition, I also have identified genes that seem to be involved in photoperiodic diapause in Aedes albopictus, one such gene being fatty acyl-CoA elongase. As of right now, we're not exactly sure of the physiological function in diapause, but ask me next year and hopefully I will know. So I'd like to acknowledge the Armbruster Lab, mainly Peter Armbruster, my advisor, fellow grad student Deb O'Donnell, Amalia Aruda, who helped me run some of the QRT reactions, and J.R. Fujimoto. In addition, I'd like to acknowledge the members of the bio department for their scientific and moral support, Heather Mallory, Meg Stanton, and Nate Posluszny. And finally, I'd like to acknowledge the people that helped us collect in Kuala Lumpur in Hawaii, and also the funding sources. Thank you.
Jennifer, you were cautious in saying that Aedes albopictus does not have a sort of periodic diapause in the tropics. Are you just, maybe it does have a diapause, but just not sort of periodically induced in the tropical ones, or no evidence at all that there's any kind of dormancy in the tropical species?
Well, I know that there was a couple populations that did happen to have photoperiod diapause, but it was so small. I mean, in general, tropical populations don't have a photoperiod diapause. Temperate ones do.
Yeah, but might there be a possibility that there's a diapause there that's regulated by some other non-photoperiodic factor?
I have no knowledge of it, but I can't rule it out. So.
Yeah. Does temperature affect diapause?
Right, so all of this was done... The question was, does temperature affect diapause? This entire study was done at a temperature of 21 degrees, which is ideal for Aedes albopictus entering diapause. I mean, ideally, if I was going to do this again, you'd do it at different temperatures, too, to see what the effect is.
One more question. So perhaps this is more of a comment than a question, but you mentioned storage lipids in context of energy reserves, but Pariata longus is a very critical in hydrocarbon production.
Mm-hmm. Right. So like I said, we're still kind of trying to figure out what exactly this gene is doing inside, but that's an excellent point, something else to look at.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.